We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning. Pardon me. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Wednesday, January the 17th, 2024. A lot to talk about today, and joining me in studio in Tupelo, MS, is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
And Wesley Wildman, my eldest son. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. I am excited about today because it's the first time we've been able to play. We can't call it, the kids call it snow. We can't call it snow. We're adults. We know it's not snow, but it looks like it. We've got a about 2 or 3 inches of sleet slash ice out there.
Ice buildup.
Yeah, good ice buildup. And we were able to play in it. I know people up north make fun of us, and that's okay. We can take it for a shutdown.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
They do. They do it in the open. Mock and ridicule Southern brethren.
And that is hurtful, for shutting down for a little bit of sleet and snow. Now, with that said, what they need to understand is that we don't have the equipment or the there's no reason for us to plant up and store up for 2 days every 3 years.
No, we don't have street clearing equipment for snow and ice like our friends up north.
And even if we did, we only get it only happens 2 or 3 times.
We wouldn't know how to use it.
So we shut down anyways. But we've enjoyed it. I can't show videos here on the radio, but we took the four-wheeler and took a sled and did the whole ride around the neighborhood and had a fun couple of days.
I saw that video. Somebody that was driving the video, driving the four-wheeler there, were throwing my grandkids off the back of the
sled.
They were slinging them around and throwing them off the sled, and I thought that's dangerous.
That would be your youngest son, Walker, and he was in his zone. Okay. He was in his zone.
Well, listen, they weren't in any real danger.
No.
They were going real slow, but they did
just
fall
enough
off
to have fun. Yeah,
and we're sliding across the ice.
Yeah, you're 7, 8. There was a 6-year-old on there, an 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and boys, 3 boys. So right. they were living the life, having a good time,
Walker was driving the four wheeler, and he was the one who was laughing when they were falling off.
That's right, yeah. And it was a '90s model four wheeler, a '90s model. Think about that. He's replaced about every part on there except for the structure. It's pretty funny, and it was still rolling or driving. So,
all right. Well,
speaking about temperature,
There was a so that winter storm that came through 2-3 days ago, that did bring a lot of snow. Still, I don't know if it's finished up the East Coast, but snow and then ice for a lot of the Mid-South,
mm-hmm.
Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, parts of North Alabama, I know got a lot of ice, and that is tough to deal with. Our offices have been closed in Tupelo Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, because it's just, I know you got into work, Fred, and you got into work, Wesley, but
slowly, but surely.
It's treacherous to drive on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So,
it's
anyway.
It's defensive driving time.
Yeah.
A lot of folks do not realize you cannot do 55, 60 in town.
No, sir.
With these conditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, we got Dr. Alex McFarland coming up at the bottom of the hour. And, you know, I always have to figure out what's a topic for Alex. Are we just freewheel? The discussion, and sometimes we do that. I asked him today, and I sent this to you because I thought this would be a good topic, because Alex really is a Bible scholar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, I'm not a Bible scholar. Well, Alex is. He's trained, he's studied, he's gone to school, and he's done studied the scriptures for many years himself. I'm just kind of curious to know, I'm going to ask him this question. How is God different in the Old Testament versus the New Testament? Or is it a versus? Or is God's the is God the same? Now, I've studied this. I know the answers to the questions, but I think it's helpful for us to talk about things sometimes maybe that new believers, new Christians wonder about. And also maybe people who are listening to us on this radio network, that, you know, they've decided, hey, I want to spend a few minutes listening to these religious freaks and I get a kick out of it. Well, we invite, if you enjoy listening to religious freaks just for fun, like us, then we invite you to stay tuned because Dr. Alex McFarland will tell you about the God of the Bible coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we're going to talk about that topic with him. Guys, you know, I've been living in Birmingham, Alabama for over a month now, I guess, or right in there. And I talked about this yesterday on the program. And listen, I apologize for that. It sounds like I'm smacking sometimes when I'm talking on this Comrex. This is a remote broadcasting piece of equipment, and this microphone is really sensitive. I was listening to part of our show yesterday that we did, and I listened to myself. And, of course, we're always our own self-critics, right? I rarely listen to the show, but I was listening for part of it that I was talking, and it just sounded like I was smacking cereal, you know, on the radio. And it's just this sensitive microphone.
Picks up everything.
It picks up everything, absolutely. And I can't even sip my coffee without, you know, sounding like that. But anyway, what I wanted to mention is we've been living here in Birmingham, Alabama, because my wife Allison had treatment for her cancer. And thank God we're going to be going home in the next couple of days if you guys will thaw out the roads over there.
That's right.
It's 2 hours between Birmingham and Tupelo, and that's where the storm hit. Yep. Birmingham didn't get much. But living in downtown Birmingham, Birmingham, Alabama is about 1.2 million, 1.3 million people, the greater Birmingham area. To me, it's a big city, okay? To me, it's a big city. I know people who live in Atlanta don't consider Birmingham a big city, but to me, it's a big city. So there aren't a lot of homeless people here that I've been able to. There are some, but not many, not as many as I would expect. Maybe there are more when it's warmer weather. I don't know exactly. But the reason I bring this up, it's hard to know as a Christian sometimes how to deal with homeless people. Hmm. Because I've been confronted 5 or 6 times in the last month by homeless people wanting money. And Fred, sometimes you don't have time. You feel sorry for the people. But the other day there was a fellow at the hospital, and he was a guy, looked to me to be like 25, 27 years old. He was in the parking garage, and he said, "Hey, I'm here." And I was walking to my car, and he didn't stalk me, but he came up within like 20 feet and said, "Hey, I'm here. My brother and I are here seeing my mom, and we don't have any money, and we're hungry." And it's just he and I out in the garage talking. And so I told him, I said, you know, sometimes I don't have cash. A lot of times I don't have cash. I don't carry cash. But I told him, I said, just wait right there, and I'll go to my car, drive around, and I'll give you some money. So I did that. I gave him, $15 or so. But I've heard that ploy. I don't know if he's legit or not. I assume he was because he was at the hospital in the garage. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I've heard that one before. Have you ever heard that one before?
Oh, yeah.
My mom's in the hospital in such and such city, and I need to get there. You heard that one before?
I've heard that in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh, that's been one for decades. Huh?
I've heard that from a guy. I was staying at a hotel north of Austin, Texas, and that's when I started to scratch my head. Isn't that interesting? Same story, two different countries.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if there's a playbook somewhere.
I think it is. That's the most. Well, they're pulling at your heart, but you don't know whether they're true or not. Wesley, you've heard that one before?
I've heard that one before as well. So a couple of thoughts on this, having discussed this with my wife Chelsea a good bit. Obviously, you want to, as a Christian, want to be able to serve the least of these. and that's a good opportunity. There could be a potentially good opportunity there. However, there's some obvious things. If you're a female and you're by yourself and it's at night, you just keep walking. There's things like that. It is a good balance between Chelsea now, because I do lean on the other on the side of, I want to know how we got to this point, how much of this was self-inflicted. On the other hand, Chelsea leans a little more of the, well, even if they got there, they're at least asking for help. So between the two of us together, we usually find a good middle ground as it relates to helping. You also need a,
so if you wanted to give her, if she wanted to give 20 and you wanted to give 5, y'all split around 10.
From a financial example, that's a good way of looking at it. But we also, another, this is just a rule of ours. Everyone's needs to use to get discernment here. But we typically don't give cash. We usually give by the need. It's very specific to the request.
I don't have time for that.
Now that's true.
Well,
now,
I mean, when a guy comes up to your car, that's happened to me 4 or 5 times. Yeah. Come up to my car, parked or whatever.
Yeah, and that's not 11th commandment.
I don't have time to go eat lunch with him. But I mean, you know what I'm taking to Applebee's or something like that. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, but we try to use a great amount of discernment. I was approached one time in Walgreens parking lot here in our hometown, Tupelo. There's a couple Walgreens, but I was approached at one of them. I had my mother-in-law with me. She was there to meet me to help pick up the kids. She wanted to spend some time with them, and we got approached very aggressively from behind. And of course, before I even had time to turn around, they were sharing their story with me about why they eventually were going to get to the point where they needed cash. Well, when I said I didn't have any cash on me, it got hostile pretty quick. And that's when I was like, well, that's a quick turn off, you know. So, yeah, but use discernment, and if you can. Back to my point, though, if you have time, and you don't always do.
Yeah.
If you have time, buy whatever their need is. If it's food, go buy them food and drop it off. My wife and I've done that a good bit. And at the end of the day, you can't go. I don't think. You can't go wrong if you're just trusting the Lord with it. You did it in good. If they misuse it, they misuse it. And there's not, you know.
Yeah.
We had a staff member this morning on his way to work made a stop somewhere to get a biscuit or something.
In Tupelo.
And the staff member bought him food. But after he gave him the food, he said, I want money, too.
I know.
You know.
I mean, these people. I'm not. These people are homeless. They're not faking it, you know. But it's just hard to know what to do sometimes because, you know, if I don't have cash, I don't have cash. But you just feel sorry for the people. On one hand, you want to know, well, am I a real Christian? Because I'm not taking an hour out of my day to go minister to this person and try to help them. But you just oftentimes don't have time for that. You don't have cash. And you have to look them in the eye and say, you know, go be warm and go and be fed.
Yeah, you know, you wish you the best here. Another thing is, on the other side of that, here comes Wesley here going, well, you don't want to enable something too in a way that.
I know. That's why it's hard to know what to do.
I brought that up because
I've been living here in downtown Birmingham, and I've been, you know, I don't know. I said 5 or 6, probably 8 or 10 times, been confronted by home. There aren't a lot. As I say, downtown Birmingham is very, very safe and very warm. I mean, not very warm, very safe and very clean.
Sure.
It really is. And there aren't a lot of homeless people, but I have been confronted. And of course, I'm not used to that. And they'll walk up right up to your car or follow you to your car. And thankfully, I haven't had anything combative or anything where I felt threatened. But there are a lot of these people, I think, are mentally ill. They're either mentally ill or they're alcohol and drug addicts. Or there was that guy the other night just roaming around the streets, 20 degrees. Just it was sad. You know, you want to go out and help the guy and say, hey, man, you need to go to a homeless shelter or something. But I think he's got some kind of mental illness that's causing him to do that. And I'm just going, where's his family? You know, where's it? And you know, I don't know what his story is. Maybe he's dissed all his family. It's just, I don't know. It just gets complicated sometimes in knowing exactly what the Christian response is individually when you're confronted by people who say they need help, and then but there's so many scammers out there. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a real conflict. There's a real tussle there as it relates to the tension. Just use discernment the best you can.
Yeah.
Always go into every situation in the back of your mind with a defensive position, because you don't want to ever let your guard down.
Yeah.
And,
one guy the other day, I gave him a 20 and I asked him for change, you know, because I only wanted to get 15. And, you know what I'm
saying?
That's
not true.
And that was an awkward situation. And he didn't have change. So I'm kidding about that.
Yes, you were.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's the first story, Fred?
Well, somewhat weather related. There are some folks who have purchased electric vehicles like Teslas, and they are regretting said purchase. As this cold weather has moved in, some people are finding out that their EV, their electric vehicle, does not perform well in cold weather when it comes to batteries and batteries running down, and also hearing stories about charging stations not working. And so you're left with one charging station and you're lining up and your car is running out of electricity. Want to play a little montage of some of these EV owners and get their reaction to what they're running into. Cut number four.
Oh, we got a bunch of dead robots out here.
Nothing, no juice. It's still on 0%. And this is like 3 hours this morning being out here after being out here 8 hours yesterday.
It's just frozen. And so I'm getting it towed to the Tesla service center because that's my only option at this point.
No response from Tesla. We have been suffering since yesterday afternoon.
And this is crazy. It's a disaster.
Yeah, apparently there are problems in cold weather. But the other thing, too, is because of the price of electric vehicles. We had a story in the last few days. Hertz, which purchased, I think, about 100,000 EVs, car rental people, and there was a story last week that they're getting rid of 20,000 of them because they're just people don't want to rent them. They're concerned about, you know, charging stations. There was a Fox story just a few days ago, a guy making a trip from New York to Chicago, and this was over the Christmas holidays. It was one of the Fox reporters. They had to stop 7 times for recharging. 7 times.
Good gracious.
He also found out that he looked at the battery level when he went into the hotel room, because it took a couple of nights to get there. I went in the hotel room and it was a certain level. So he said, I've got enough to go to the next charging station tomorrow morning. Well, he gets in the EV in the next morning and it's dropped in half that battery power.
It had to be probably because of the weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the temperatures.
There are regrets out there, and people are
so
just...
So you're telling me electric vehicles are not conducive to winter?
Yeah, that they're running into that problem, but also
where it's winter, where it's sub freezing temperatures for a lot of the winter, like half the country. Wesley, you were mentioning on our show prep meeting about so many electric things don't work when
I was gonna say this. So we've talked about Teslas or electric vehicles in general, the issues they have as far as being mandated or being replacement vehicles for gas-powered vehicles. This is just one more of many things that we find that causes electric vehicles not to be a replacement for gas vehicles, because when you're talking about your job, when you're talking about your financial income, and you wake up one morning and you can't make it to the meeting that out there in the real world, there you could get fired for not showing up. They don't care if your vehicle's not working. Not to mention, you're talking about Hertz here, the car company of rental companies. If they walk in one morning and they've got 100, 200, 300 electric vehicles that are at half charge because of the temperature, that's a major problem. That's a loss in business for them. So I appreciate the effort and trying to come up with creative alternatives for transportation and provide options for people. But what we don't like is when we're getting pushed towards a mandate of forcing us to use electronic vehicles without acknowledging all the things. Today is not a good time for it, but we have talked about it in the past, the fact that the electric vehicles, just charging them alone, even under good conditions, requires so much electricity and so on. So this is just one more reason that we're seeing that electric vehicles have their place, and I think over time they'll get a little better, but mandating them and using them as a way to force people to transition away from gas vehicles is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody gave me the money for an electric vehicle that I, you know, to tootle around town, in, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I could go for that. But to be forced, and you just addressed this mandate that's coming from the Biden administration under the umbrella of climate change to force people into electric vehicles, that's what's being resisted, and the cost of those electric vehicles, and where the materials to build the batteries, where they're coming from China and from other countries that use slave labor. So the American public is beginning to learn a whole lot more about EVs, and quite frankly, they're saying, I'm not buying into it right now.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, Tesla, those Tesla cars to me are pretty cool looking.
Yeah, they're sharp.
Yeah.
He's done well. Elon Musk is the, you know, primary investor in that, or owner of, I guess he's the owner of the Tesla company, CEO. Mm-hmm. As you say, Wesley, they have their place, and some people will buy them and enjoy them. But there are some pitfalls and downsides that that are applicable to if you're talking about the mass general public switching over from gas to electric. We're not ready for that in any way, shape, or form, and I think that's being hidden by these environmental activists who want to push us all towards the electric vehicles. All right, but you're saying Hertz Rental Company is selling off how many?
They're selling off 20,000, and they're going to use the money to buy gas-powered vehicles.
And what's also interesting, I was reading this story about Tesla, and there were many, many, many of these electric vehicles that were dying on the side of the road, and they were using gas-powered flatbed trucks to go pick them up. So just... I mean,
why? Because
they ran out of juice. The irony, and of course, it was subtemp, and so they.
Right.
But the problem here is they already don't get the same lifespan. The distance in an electric vehicle is not near as much as it would be in a gas powered vehicle, and that's under normal conditions. You start taking out.
You're talking about how far you can drive without before you got to pull over and recharge.
That is correct. Yeah. So then you, in addition to that, now you take out. Which we're talking about sub temperatures here, just cold weather in general. Anybody can tell you that will lower the battery for that particular charge. So you've got that going on, and now you're talking about they're having to use gas powered flatbed trucks to go pick up electric vehicles whose battery died on the side of the road because of the condition, the situation that we're talking about. This is the irony here in all of this. It's funny to talk about.
Do we need to remind people these charging stations? Where does that power come from? A gas-fired generator?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I know.
I'm sorry, you cannot go without fossil fuels.
Yeah. That's the mic drop there when it comes to all this. Again, I think it's cool, electric vehicles for, you know, the thought of it. But ultimately, if you're doing it for the purpose of trying to have a cleaner environment, end quote, that's a complete fail.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a time out right here. Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us after the break. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we have a Facebook page for this show called Today's Issues, and we put the stories that we talk about there on our Today's Issues Facebook page. And then we have our own live video streaming service here at American Family Radio, streaming.afa.net. Just go there. We won't ban ourselves. We promise. Okay? If we say ivermectin, we're not banning ourselves. Okay? streaming.afa.net. streaming.afa.net. We should have named that streaming.ivermectin.net. That's what we should have made it. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issue. Stay with us.
If you're like most of us, you're paying way too much for healthcare. That's why I want to tell you about a ministry that has been meeting the healthcare needs of hundreds and thousands of Christians, and that's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is cost-sharing made easy. For over 40 years, this unique model has allowed believers to choose their own doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they are not insurance, but a faith-based alternative to insurance. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. It all starts with a visit to chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR. Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving health share ministry serving all 50 states. Share the good news with a friend, too. chministries.com/AFR. Make the switch today with anytime enrollment.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Let's see, Brad Jackson's in studio there in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
Wesley Wildman is. I don't see Wesley on the video.
He is on his way.
All right. Well, if he's going to be on this show every 2 days a week, he's going to have to learn, you know, how long he has to be away from the microphone. All right, now I see him. He's sitting down now. Okay, Wesley, you're 30 seconds late there.
Yeah, well, you'd be proud of me. I spilt my coffee, and I took the time to clean up after myself, but it cost me 30 seconds on live radio.
Okay, well, you're going to have to run some laps after the show.
That's right. I joke with people up here. I tell them you have to miss their lunch break. So
yeah,
laps are better than lunch break because lunch is important.
Lunch is very important. All right, I'm Tim with Fred and Wesley, and I'm not where Wesley and Fred are, okay? So sometimes there's a little over-talk or confusion. Now
we're getting better at it, though.
Yeah, we're getting better at it. All right, so you're listening to American Family Radio, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Is Alex on? Okay, Dr. Alex McFarland is in the great state of North Carolina this morning. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, brother. How are you all surviving the blizzard of 24?
We're doing
well.
Well,
people in Montana would be laughing at the use of the word
blizzard
right now. But I think you were kidding there. But the blizzard, it did. By the way, you live in North Carolina. Did that winter storm hit you?
Just a little bit of freezing rain, but I mean, it has been crazy cold. I mean, single digit temperatures, which we're not used to.
Yeah, no, nor are we. Absolutely. And I don't know, the global warming crowd, they just can't catch a break here recently. Well, they switched it to climate change, right? They don't say global warming anymore. The environmental activists, they say climate change. So about 20, I think it was probably about 10, 15 years ago, they figured out, hey, we can't call this global warming anymore because we're getting mocked because there's so much frigid cold weather around the globe. And then they said, we got to go with a different terminology. So they switched from global warming to climate change. And climate change, Fred, man, you can drop anything under there, can't you?
It was a great move
cold,
by them.
It's climate change.
You know,
it's hot. It's climate change.
You set yourself up a gauge to measure the temperature, and you put it in a parking lot in July in Phoenix. You're going to have pretty hot weather, you know? It all depends on where you put it. By the way, the climate change activists are all meeting in Davos, Switzerland right now, and the our czar, John Kerry, is there.
Yeah.
He got a little ticked because a reporter asked him about that nice airplane that he uses to fly around the world to tell us not to use fossil fuels. Here's a little, it's 13 seconds, I'll play it for you. Cut number five.
What's the carbon footprint of these events every single year that you come here? You think it's worth it? The peasants pay for your crimes?
That's a stupid question.
Is it really?
We're done. We are done now.
It's a stupid question.
We're done.
Listen, this isn't the first time. These elitists is what I call them, and they're globalists. They're smarter. They're people who think they're smarter than everybody else, and I'm sure they got PhDs and whatever. John Kerry, right there, that isn't the first time he said that. These people are such hypocrites, including the Hollywood crowd and these other, New York, L.A. elites and these people. They fly around the world for these conferences, like going on right now. John Kerry's flying in a private jet, which the carbon emissions from a private jet far exceed, at least on an individual level, that of a commercial airliner.
Sure.
So he could have flown commercial like everybody else, but like the little people. But no, he has to fly around in a private jet all over the world to tell us how we need to take mass transit.
Yeah.
So it's just, they're such hypocrites. Go ahead. Alex, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, 70 years ago, C.S. Lewis said the worst sort of despot is the despot who does what he does, quote, for your own good. And you know, you're right about John Kerry and Al Gore and all the climate zealots. They're smarter than us. They're more moral than us. They take the high ground, and they want to plunge the world into socialism to save the world.
Yes.
And But, hey, Earth Day, and I'm old enough. I mean, I remember back probably in the 80s when I was in high school and we, quote, celebrated Earth Day. And I didn't know what it was all about even back then, but it kind of raised an antenna and a red flag in my mind. But there was an article in The Atlantic about 2 years ago as Earth Day was coming up on its, like, 50th anniversary. And the guy behind it was this climate wacko named Paul Ehrlich. And I love what they said about, he wrote a thing called The Population Bomb. And all these people, these secularists, overpopulation, famine, climate. But here's what The Atlantic said. They said in 51 years of Earth Day and radical climate initiatives, not only have Paul Ehrlich and his, crew been wrong, but spectacularly wrong. And I love the way they worded that all the doom and gloom. And Tim, when I was in my undergrad in the late 80s, I remember my professors were passionately saying, because of Ronald Reagan, the human race will die out in 10 years if we don't do all these end automobiles. And but not only wrong, but spectacularly wrong.
Yeah.
That's a good way to go ahead, Fred.
Another person attending the Davos climate change events each year is Bill Gates, Microsoft founder Bill Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how many airplanes he owns? He has four jets, two Gulfstreams, and two Bombardier Challengers, and he owns a helicopter, and just to tootle around, he has a Cessna. Six airplanes.
Right.
And this is a guy who says the rest of us got to get rid of our fossil fuels.
I got to say, I think it kind of feels like there's money to be made here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous, the hypocrisy. And I don't think they're right on their premise. So,
yes.
I don't believe, I've said this many times before, in man-made global warming. Don't believe in it. Furthermore, I'm about to start preaching. I mean, I will on this because the idea that basically it's the United States and maybe part of Europe, switching over to all electricity, which we mentioned that has all set of problems, getting away from fossil fuels is going to save the globe. when India and China don't give a rip, and they're correct, the main polluters in the world, and they're not going to stop. And how come it is that John Kerry and these other people never put real pressure on those countries? Why is it always just what we're supposed to do here in the West, in particular the United States? I think it's to cripple our economy and to move us to try to control our economy. All right, but listen, I want to switch over to this topic because I told people at the top of the program, Alex, we were going to talk about it. In the Bible's made up of, obviously, the Old Testament and the New Testament, right?
Right.
So God of the Bible, the God of Christianity, the God we serve, the God we proclaim here on American Family Radio and his son Jesus Christ, how would you describe God's, I don't know, for lack of a better word, character or personality in the Old Testament? And then I want to talk about, does that change in the New Testament? First, would you describe it in the Old Testament? And by the way, how many years does the Old Testament cover in human history?
About 1,400 years. I mean, it goes back, you know, the creation story all through the creation, the fall, the call of Abraham, Israel. But, you know, Moses in the Exodus was about 1440 B.C. And, you know, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So 4,000 years of history before Jesus, but 1,400 years of history from the life of Moses to the life of Christ.
How do we know? I'm going to get sidetracked here, but I have so many. When we start talking about the Bible, I'm so curious because the Bible always is consistent with itself and with history, even though a lot of the mockers and scoffers try to pick it apart. Moses is thought to have, or almost assuredly, wrote the first five books of the Bible.
Right, right. That's often called the Pentateuch, P-E-N-T, meaning five. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were all written by Moses, and Jesus affirmed that, Mosaic authorship of the Pentateuch, we call it.
Okay.
But you know what's wild? Okay, like we're talking about climate change, and to say that human activity has not changed the climate, some people would just, that would blow their mind. But to say that the Earth is 6,000 to 10,000 years old max and not millions of years old, that would blow people's minds. But that's what I believe. And the record of human history goes back just only a few thousand years, not millions. And I honestly believe what we conclude about creation and history and where we are in history, I think we need to take God's word for it rather than man's.
All right, so God, God's character, there's so many roads we could travel down with what you just talked about, which would be very, very interesting to me. We'll do it on another program. We'll do more exploration, as you and Bert do in the afternoons, Bert Harper on Exploring the Word. But I think the perception of a lot of people reading the Old Testament is that God is, how would you say, very
cruel,
harsh
and wrathful.
Yeah. Is that true?
Well, I want to say this. Throughout the Word of God, we have a consistent picture of who God is. And God is righteous and holy, and God exacts justice on sinners, but God is also merciful and full of grace. And, you know, Bert and I wrote about this in our most recent book that Bert and I have done, is 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. But here's the thing, and we get this question. They'll say, well, in the Old Testament, God was kind of cruel and harsh, but in the New Testament, Jesus is full of love. But look, in Exodus, it says that God is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. I mean, we get these verses about God is compassionate, abounding in love, slow to anger. In Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Nehemiah, Psalm 86, in many of the Psalms, in Joel 2:13. So in the Old Testament, there is God as a God of love and grace and patience. Then in the New Testament, yes, there's, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, the Lord says, you know, love your neighbor, turn the other cheek. But Jesus also says, you know, fear not the one who can kill the body, but fear God who can cast your soul into hell. The Bible says that God disciplines those he loves in Hebrews 12:6. And so Romans 1:18, oh my goodness, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness of men. So there is a consistent picture of God throughout the entirety of Old and New Testaments. The skeptics want to try to accuse God of schizophrenia. He's mad, then he's graceful. No, it's a consistent, God is loving, his arms are open, but if you die in a state of unbelief, there is an eternity of punishment to endure.
Hey, Alex, this is Wesley here.
Go, Wesley.
Could it be, though, that people get that impression because there's more battles taking place in the Old Testament, there's more conquering of land and things like that, which obviously would not directly be associated with God himself and his character, although that does take place. So you do got a lot of history of God's people in the Old Testament that you don't get necessarily in the New Testament in the same way you get in the Old Testament.
Brilliant, Wesley. You get an A for the day,
brother. He's my son.
Amen.
And so one other Bible verse to bring to our...
Where do you think the brilliance... Go ahead.
Amen.
I just want to jump in there. Go ahead.
You hop in there real quick, Dad. Make it quick. but another Bible verse that comes to mind when this topic was presented to us this morning was Malachi 3:6, where God says, I, the Lord, change not.
Amen.
So another passage of Scripture just to reaffirm... Hop in there with any comments on that assessment.
So here is the two words that are going to help us here. And Wesley, you're right. That's why I said you get an A for the day. If you were in one of my classes, I'd give you an A. But here's the thing. In the Old Testament, for over four centuries, Israel was going into their land. God was going to raise up Israel, and through the nation of Israel, sent Jesus the Savior, right? So... yes, the Canaanites, the Philistines, Amorites, Perizzites, Hagarites fought them. So here are the two words. Could God have had a morally sufficient reason to tell Israel to defend themselves, go into battle, and when necessary, kill the pagans? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes, because think about this, folks. What would be worse, for a few thousand pagans to die that would not repent in over 400 years, or for the human race not to have a savior? And obviously, if Israel had been exterminated, like Haman wanted to do in the book of Esther and so many examples, if Israel had been, you know, killed, and if the plan of salvation had not been fulfilled, the human race wouldn't have had a savior. That would have been far worse than the death of a few thousand pagans. Because, look, if you're not going to repent in over 400 years, chances are you're not going to repent. Mm-hmm. And so God did call Israel to go to battle, but he had a morally sufficient reason for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Fred, you got anything to say or question here? I got more, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think I often hear this age in which we are living, Alex, is called the age of grace. And people like to compare where we are, where we don't perhaps see God's judgment demonstrated the way that we see so often in the Old Testament, particularly against Israel's enemies. So I think we're in that period of age of grace. Your comments on that, because judgment is coming. That is promised. This age of grace is going to end. But just because we don't see the kinds of overt acts of judgment by God right now doesn't mean that he has changed or grown soft on sin.
That's true. And that's why, you know, God's mercy is so great. I mean, he's giving us a window of opportunity in which to repent. And the Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But just like life comes to an end, the age of time that we're in right now, the church age, the age of grace. The Bible uses the phrase that the times of the Gentiles will come to an end. Mm. And, you know, based on world events, maybe we very likely may be near the end of history. Christ is coming back. That's why I would say to everybody listening to the program right now, if you've never trusted Christ, do this today. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow, but again, folks, if you are not sure that you've accepted Christ, then he is as close by as a prayer. Call on Jesus for salvation today while you have an opportunity.
Another couple things is that not to I don't want to flippantly use these scriptures to justify anybody getting angry or frustrated or anything like that, but we, to Alex's point, he did a wonderful job using both Old Testament and New Testament scriptures that make the point that God is the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament, even though, as I pointed out, you've got historical information in the Old Testament that does give a lot more battles and things like that. But you, if you look at in the New Testament, you've got two places that come to mind. You got where Jesus turned over the tables, and you also got a place where he says, sell your cloak and buy a sword. So you have a cut. Now, I know that both of those require a good bit of explanation and content. You don't want to misuse those for the purpose of for your own self gain. But there are places, even in its proper context, those are two examples where Jesus, if you take the route that is being used by many Christians today, that God is just about love and does not require any type of discipline or instructions or even punishment, you're going to have to wrestle with both of those scriptures, because both of those you see there. And that's why, you know, ultimately Jesus is our perfect example. He is our example to follow in all that we do when you're trying to strike a good balance between both justice and mercy. And Jesus does it better than any of us, and that's why he's our example.
Mm. Alex, you got to go, or?
I do. Actually, I'm getting ready to get up and speak to a college group. I'm at Karis Bible College, actually in Colorado. But, hey, I got to tell you guys something really exciting. As of yesterday, I got an invitation February 19 and 20. I'm going to be speaking at Blue Mountain Christian University in Mississippi. Very great honor. Dr. Barbara McMillan, Ronald Meeks, they've invited me. There's a lecture on America and Christianity. And I am just so honored to be the speaker there. And maybe we'll get to promote that again, because it's open to the public.
When is it?
February 19 and 20.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that, of course, that's 45 minutes from our studios.
Amen. But, guys, I got to get up and speak right now. God bless you, and may God bless America.
Okay, we all make choices in life. You made yours, Alex, so go ahead and go speak to other people. And thank you for being on with us, brother.
He's gone. He was serious. He was not kidding
around.
Talking
about that very minute he had to get off the phone with us.
We're always thankful for Alex's time, though. We know he travels and he does a lot of speaking, obviously, both at churches but also at school campuses, like our friend Dr. Frank Turk and others. What a wonderful partnership and friendship that we have, and those guys and many others that just go to these college campuses. At this point, the overwhelming majority of them are going into the beast.
Listen, I've known Alex for a long time, I don't know, a couple decades. He's on our board of directors at our ministry. He's just a wonderful guy. He and his wife Angie lives in on a peanut farm in North Carolina. That reminds me, every year he sends me his homemade peanut butter for Christmas, and I don't remember.
Wait, I didn't get it this year either, but there's
Did
a reason for
either?
That. No, there's a reason for that, and the reason is Joe Biden and the economy.
Joe Biden?
He's responsible for
why
everything.
I didn't get peanut butter from Alex?
Yes. I'm blaming him for everything.
Oh, when, okay.
My grocery bill, gas bill, and then everything.
You got a problem, we're just going to blame Biden.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got it.
I'm very frustrated about that. We've talked about this a good bit.
All right.
My grocery bill, gas bill.
I still got to ask him. Maybe I shouldn't ask him on live radio.
We passed inflation numbers.
In front of everybody where my homemade peanut butter is. But I'm just never knowing that I didn't get. You didn't get it either, Fred. Did you get it, or did you?
I did not this year because I've got yeah. I've received it in the past.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a big hole in my cupboard.
Maybe the peanuts didn't make it this year because of global warming.
That may be more fair and accurate. I just know that when it comes to the frustration of the changes, you're getting there's things you don't get now that you would have got then, and we've talked about this a good bit. I mean, just yesterday, my electric bill, or not my electric, my garbage bill went up $20. There was another bill that went up $15, and I'm just like telling Chelsea mm-hmm. and everybody no to everything.
Build you a burn pit in the backyard.
Huh? I know.
Like some people do. All right. Well, listen, we're just about out of time for this hour. Fred Jackson. Fred, any thoughts on what Alex was saying? He was saying, you know, listen, God is real, and you can read about God in the Bible. And God calls each individual human being, each of them to follow him, to serve him, to trust in him. And that's what we proclaim.
That's right.
That's the message. That's one of the basic message of Christianity, right?
That's right. John 3:16. I was just reading it yesterday morning once again. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what?
Amen.
Each day is an extension. That invitation goes out, and you've got an opportunity, and there is an eternal consequence if you don't accept that.
Amen. And folks, there's purpose and meaning to life. Amen. All right. There's purpose and meaning to life. And God Almighty is calling each of us to serve him, to live for him while we're on earth. And then when we die, as Fred said, there's judgment. So we have heaven or hell, the Bible describes. And heaven is for those of us who follow Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, trust in him, and live for the Lord. There is heaven beyond this life. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.